Hamilton's number one fantasy sports show. It's the Wagner Wire, presented by Audiovisual Consultations.
What would you say you do here?
I am the eyes and ears of this institution, my friends.
I manage a baseball team.
Little league?
Fantasy league.
He's worth a million in prizes.
It's our fantasy baseball draft.
Your fantasy what?
Fantasy baseball. I told you all about this. Got Matsui.
All your fantasy sports updates.
The numbers game.
Now, the host from the East Coast. Here's Wax.
That was pretty classy.
You know it. Third and final hour. Load up these fantasy football questions on the Specs text line. Make sure you call us up at 512-447-3776 if you have any questions as well. We're getting ready to go into the signature segment of the Wagner Wire. So who do you love? That's right. We do it a little LL Cool J style. It's a Queens thing, but we do this thing pretty much in Austin, Texas. It's the biggest and the baddest segment of fantasy football in Austin, Texas. The number one fantasy football show in Austin, Texas. Thanks to you guys out there in our Fairburg. Adam Wagner, Isaiah Collier, Sam Pikachu, bringing you in and off these Austin radio airwaves. 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. You stream it live at hornfm.com every hour. Podcasted at hornfm.com. So make sure if you missed any of the segments that we did previously, you go back and listen to it, download it at hornfm.com. All right, let's, without further ado, we've kind of been doing bad at time clock management, so let's make sure that we get these pretty boys out there. Let's go ahead and kick it off right now and get into the Who Do You Love.
Boom! Who do you love?
Yeah, we said it. We're going to start off with the pretty boys. It's the quarterbacks, the shot callers, the ones at the head of the helm there. Let's go ahead and I took greens last time and last segment. Zay, go ahead and you got greens this time.
All right, let's get it cracking. At quarterback, who do I love? And that is Derek Carr, the Vegas Raiders quarterback going against the Falcons today. Yeah. And Derek Carr has been looking good, man. Like, with that performance last week against the Chiefs, just how he was wheeling and dealing. And one thing about Derek Carr, you know, over the course of his career, he's always had the arm. It's just about has he had
the
coordinators, has he had the weapons around him. And when he first came in, he had a lot of hype, and it calmed down a little bit due to, you know, we love you when you're hot. We don't really care about you when you're not type of mentality. And now that he's back and Gruden and they're cooking and whatnot, I feel like the Raiders are going to be a team that if they make the playoffs that nobody would want to play, especially how, you know, you saw Derek Carr, how he handles the offensive line and, you know, his reads before the snap. That's kind of really changed his game, and you can tell, you know, this season. So I like Derek Carr.
The pairing with Gruden has done tremendous things with Carr. Carr was a phenomenal quarterback before Gruden even came to the Raiders, but now, you know, at Vegas, he's just, you know, optimizing Carr's game at quarterback. You mentioned it quietly, 19 touchdowns and 3 interceptions Derek Carr does. I love it. This is the play for me of all quarterbacks, right? If I'm rolling out one lineup, one roster, it's got to be Derek Carr as my quarterback here just because of the value, right? 5,700 on DraftKings, you can get this dude in. And then he's going up against the Falcons, right? Hot Atlanta ain't exactly hot anymore. 31st, 30 worst in the NFL at yielding or coming in for pass defense. They yield 312 over the 300 mark there. 312 yards through the air, 29th in the NFL at allowing quarterbacks to score on them. I love this play, Zay, all day long. I'm going to go ahead. That's going to be another one of my quarterbacks. Go ahead and you can lead the way with another one, man.
All right, man, moving along on a guy that surprised
us. So we're it has your play for quarterback today should be Derek Carr. Zay, yeah. I mean, we didn't do any of this pre-show stuff. Like Zay said Derek Carr, my eyes lit up immediately. I was like, yo, that's
we freestyle the show.
Exactly.
Let's just keep it real. We freestyle the show.
Exactly, dude. We come here, we give you the plays that you need to make, but it's also it's the one that jumps off the paper at us, the first one, right? All the numbers, and you know we like to go inside the numbers.
It's all about the numbers. That's what the show has been about. So, shout out to our guy.
Go to Vegas. Take Vegas, take Carr right here. Go ahead. What's your second quarterback?
Taysom Bicycle Hill.
Boy on a bicycle.
The boy on the bicycle going up against the team that doesn't even have a quarterback due to COVID restrictions, the Denver Broncos. And you know what that means? That means Taysom Hill's going to have a lot of opportunities due to the fact that Denver will be punting the ball a lot today. So, you know, with what Taysom Hill did last week, it really just showed these New Orleans Saints are just a really good football team. Like, that's what I saw. I saw that this is a really good football team. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. They're going to give themselves a chance to win the game just because of who they have on their team and the looks that they give. And again, we talked about it last week with Taysom Hill. We didn't know what the Saints were going to put out there. And when you scout that as a defense, what are you really scouting? What are you really looking at? What can you tell your defense? Hey, look for this. You can't, because we haven't seen this. Now, Denver, they've had a week to see what, you know, New Orleans did last week.
They're
going to
be rolling out a wide receiver as their quarterback.
Yeah, and that's why I don't think it matters. So, yeah, I would start Taysom Hill today due to the numbers.
I like the play, and still, especially for DFS as well, he's probably going to still have a decent price tag, an affordable price tag that's going to allow you to get some more players into your lineup as well. For my second quarterback, I like Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think Fitzmagic's going to be on scene today. No Tua, so this is Fitzpatrick's shot to sit there and win back the crowd, win back all the national pundits being like, hey, I was playing at some of the top of my game right now before I was actually benched and the decision was made to go to Tua. I think Fitzpatrick's going to come in there, carve up this Jets defense. They're 13th in allowing quarterbacks to score, which is kind of pedestrian, but then in the NFL, they yield 296 yards through the air, which is 30th in the NFL. I like the matchup here and we know about the numbers, eh? I like the matchup here for Fitzmagic.
I like it. I like it a lot. Who I also like this week is Cam Newton going up against the Arizona Cardinals, and I like Cam Newton lately, man. I really have. Like, during the past three games, he's averaging around 20 fantasy points per game. And it's, you know, Bill Belichick, even though we talk about him needing Tom Brady and whatnot this year, they're still a tough team. Like, we know what New England's going to bring to the table. And at this point, I think they understand everything that Cam Newton can do and everything that he can't do. So with that being said, we see a lot of rushing touchdowns now. You know, you see a lot of, you know, tight ends in there to where they can block for Cam and give him those lanes, because he's not the same explosive Cam that he once was.
Still an imposing 6'6 Cam.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody wants to really get, you know, try to tackle him. If he lowers his head, he's going to gain yards instead of lose yards. So I like Cam Newton today.
I like Cam Newton, too. I also like Josh Allen. Now, look, this is probably my most riskiest of the quarterbacks that I just mentioned. Yeah, and I know I mentioned Fitzmagic and I mentioned Derek Carr, but I still think Josh Allen, for as much money that you're spending on this dude in daily fantasy football formats, $7,600. That's a lot to put on your quarterback. If you're spending this much money on a quarterback, he better get you at least 35 to 40 points. That's my only thing. And he does have a chance to do that against the Los Angeles Chargers here. From a glance, Chargers are 28th at allowing quarterbacks to score on them. That goes well for him, but they're kind of pedestrian in terms of yardage allowed through pass and rushing yards. On the ground, they're 16th. They yield 115. And then through the air, they're 9th at 200, only yielding 237. I still think that Josh Allen can, you know, exploit some of the, you know, I guess the pockets that are sitting there not visible, not too visible in the Chargers' defense. But I still think that he can, you know, exploit some of this defense for their mishaps of whatever they could be.
Yeah, the Chargers do have a lot of mishaps. Again, you know, I said it a few weeks ago, but now that their record's 3-7, they're one of the best 3-7 teams I've ever seen, especially with Justin Herbert.
I'm with you, man. I don't know how they're 3-7.
I don't know. The NFL's ridiculous, but moving along to running backs.
The Toters.
Who I like this week is, you talked about, you know, Josh Allen. It's going to be in the single digits today in Buffalo.
Ooh.
I like Zach Moss toking that rock just because, you know, when it's that cold, you want to rely on your running
backs. It gets cold in Utah, and Zach Moss was toting a rock out there in Utah, too. So, I mean, I don't know how much colder it gets in Buffalo as opposed to Utah, but I venture to say that he's used to handling the rock in the cold weather.
Yeah, and, you know, like we say all the time, it's all about the numbers. The Chargers have allowed a top 15 running back in 8 consecutive games. So they're going to allow the running back to go crazy. Moss has had at least 11 touches since week 8. Now we're in week 12. So, the one thing about rookies, you're going to have to ease them in there. You got to ease those rookies in. You can't just throw them to the fire, especially running backs. The game's faster. The speed's a little different than what they saw in college. Blocking's different, you know, just scheme. So I like Zach Moss today against those Chargers who, again, it's going to be cold as hell. Will they be able to adjust to it? Being an L.A. team, we'll see.
I'm paying a hefty price today at running back. And it's because I have such a budget buster salary relief at my quarterback. For the past 2 weeks, I've rostered up Alvin Kamara. Last week, Alvin Kamara cost me $9,200. This week, he's down $1,000. So I'm going to take him one more time at $8,200. He's got a pretty good matchup. Actually, Denver is 10th at only allowing running backs to score on them. But they're kind of pedestrian on the ground, coming in at 19th, almost 20th. Yielding 121 yards on the ground, 242 through the air, 13th in the NFL. I think with Taysom Hill, second week in a row now that he's going to be at the helm, there's not, you know, we don't have any reluctancy, you know, do we have indecisiveness, you know, with him going in there or Jameis Winston going in there. I think now that the offense has a little bit more rapport with this, they're starting to build on it. You saw Michael Thomas start to feed off of Taysom Hill a little bit, which ultimately opens things up for Alvin Kamara. I think get a little bit crazier. I know you're spending a lot of money. $8,200 is a lot for one player. With spending money like that, he almost essentially has to get 30 points or else it's a waste, right? I think Kamara can get that. I think he's going to look good going up against the Denver Broncos. They're just in a mess of themselves. But you're going up, you're on the road, you're in Denver. I think that usually that goes well for road dog quarterbacks. And usually Kamara gets involved with the passing. He's probably one of the best. It's almost like the Le'Veon Bell situation 5 years ago with Alvin Kamara. He's one of the best running backs in the league, and he's also one of the best wide receivers coming out of the backfield.
Yeah, Alvin Kamara is an absolute stud. And that, you know, we talked about it with Taysom Hill and how good those New Orleans Saints are. Like, they're a really good team that's going to give anybody trouble. And, you know, Alvin Kamara, I think he's the best in the league. But moving along, I like Chris Carson for the Seattle Seahawks. And, yes, he's been, you know, injury prone this whole season. But he's coming back this week, you know, in a Monday night showdown against the Eagles, who, if you're in the NFC East, we know the problems you have. But with Chris Carson, we know why Russell Wilson has been struggling. He's been forcing it a lot, and I think that's due to not having a consistent run game. And with Chris Carson being out, I think it really made Russell Wilson press these last few weeks. And now that he's going to have Chris Carson back, look to see that Seahawks offense take off like we saw in the first few weeks of the season. And, you know, people are afraid of, oh man, the Seahawks, is Russell Wilson kind of, you know, dwelling a little bit? Or, you know, yes, they definitely are, you know, open to just being absolutely demolished because of that defense. But if they have a steady running game, it allows those, you know, those defensive players to stay off the field and get their energy back to where they don't have to be on the field all the time giving up big plays. And Chris Carson is a big reason for that. I'd start him today.
I love Chris Carson. Yeah, I got him in almost every one of my season-long leagues as well. I think he's a dominant running back, especially up there in Seattle. How about Kareem Hunt? Usually I would err people on the side of caution to take two running back, or to take a running back that is sharing a backfield, you know, with Nick Chubb, probably one of the best running backs in the league. But this Cleveland team, it is a weird, outrageous type of running style football team. I mean, I'm not seeing any other team doing it like the Cleveland Browns right now. Able to get two running backs over the century mark or over the 100-yard mark, I think that can bode well for Kareem Hunt today as well. He only had 9 points last week, but coming off of a 19, almost 20-point game 2 weeks ago, going up against Jacksonville, 28th in the league at allowing running backs to score on them, and then 29th through the passing game, which usually you see Kareem Hunt get most of his yardage and productivity coming out of the backfield, catching passes from Baker Mayfield. 24th through is the Jacksonville Jaguars in rushing in the NFL. 129 yards that they yield on the ground. I think this bodes well for not just Kareem Hunt, but also Nick Chubb as well. I usually issue a little bit of caution taking two running backs, especially when one is just so dominant, being Nick Chubb, but, you know, with a 60-40 split, I still think the 40% of productivity of the payload that Kareem Hunt actually gets it's going to be, you know, beneficial. I still think that he can exploit this defense going up against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I like the matchup here for Kareem Hunt.
Kareem Hunt is just so versatile.
It is. Dude,
like, you know, he's a really good receiver. You could use him as a receiver. He runs routes really well. And also, he could toke the rock. So you could put him in at the same time, which I think the Browns have started to do a lot more with OBJ being out. And Baker, as long as he protects the ball, it gives those guys opportunities. So I like Kareem Hunt too, Wags. Moving on to our last running back, and that will be Mike Davis, who is the backup running back for the Carolina Panthers due to Christian McCaffrey being out today. And that's just simply it, everybody. Like, with no Christian McCaffrey, what do you have? I don't know if Teddy B's going to be back.
I think Teddy B, I think that's a game time decision, but I'm expecting Teddy Bridgewater. I dropped all of PJ Walker's stock, so I got my Teddy Bridgewater stock back in there. I wouldn't be surprising if I saw PJ Walker get the nod from that role, but I'm expecting Teddy Bridgewater to be in there, man.
And this is a really interesting game, this Minnesota Vikings versus the Carolina Panthers, because both teams, I don't know, you know, with that extra spot in the playoffs, if you're at 4-6 or 4-7, and you could win out or win majority of your games, us being in week 12, you still have a chance to make it. So this game is kind of make or break for both of these teams. To, you know, the team that loses probably out completely. So, you know, with that injury with Teddy B, they're going to need to toke the rock more, and that's why I like Mike Davis.
Do you like Nyheim Hines with no Jonathan Taylor being out because of COVID-19?
I like Nyheim Hines a lot.
Yeah, Nyheim Hines, I mean, sitting here, $4,600. That's all it's going to cost to get him in your lineup. And again, no Jonathan Taylor, so the payload that he usually splits is going to be predominantly mostly him. Yeah, take that, because at a glance, 277 yards through the air is what the Tennessee Titans yield. That's 27th in the league, and then on the ground, they're 19th at yielding 121. Man, the numbers point to Nyheim Hines all damn day, Zay. I like it. $4,600, that's a steal.
Got him. Moving on to...
We should probably break right now and then come back and then do the wide receivers. That's what I'm thinking. Do that real quick, and then we'll come back. We'll touch the wide receivers. We'll touch on the tight ends. And then we'll have a nice little Sunday kicked off for you, getting ready to kick off your NFL. It's the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. You stream live at hornfm.com.
Now, back to the Wagner Wire.
All right, welcome back to the Wagner Wire, segment number two, where you're breaking down the wide receivers and tight ends here. We're finishing up the Who Do You Love segment there, the signature segment for the Wagner Wire here. We've finished with the quarterbacks and running backs in the first segment. Now it's time to move on to the prima donnas. Go ahead, Zay. What you got?
My favorite wide receiver in this 2020 class, Justin Jefferson. And it's probably because I just love the dance, the giddy that he has transformed to the whole football nation. I feel like every football player that scores a touchdown does this dance. And the fact that he's just a rookie and he's already making his, you know, mark on the NBA. I mean, not NBA, NFL, sorry. But he's just, you know, fun to watch. He's a stud. Bucky compared him to Odell Beckham Jr., both LSU guys. And I think that he could be that type of player. You know, he has the speed. He makes the miraculous catches. And Adam Thielen might not play today due to, you know, COVID restrictions. So that means that him and Kirk Cousins, you know, are probably going to link up more. I would if I was Kirk Cousins. But, yeah, I like Justin Jefferson a lot, especially going against this Carolina Panthers team that we talked about. And this is a huge game. The team that loses will be out of the playoff race, I think. So, yeah, I like this game a lot. I like Justin Jefferson a lot.
I like Justin Jefferson, too. I wonder how well he's going to do carrying the load for the wide receiver core there, if he's going to draw too many double teams there and maybe not. I'm sure he can get the separation, but my only issue of concern is, will Kirk Cousins actually throw the ball? Because usually he gets a little conservative and timid when he, you know, when he doesn't have, I guess, the perfect route being ran. Usually he throws those deep balls when the guy's got maybe 10 feet of separation already. Instead of throwing the wide receiver open, he waits for the wide receiver to get open until he throws the ball, which is completely different than some of the elite quarterbacks in this league. That's for sure. I love the pick of Jefferson. I still think that CeeDee Lamb is the best wide receiver, though.
Oh, I know that.
I'm going to stay on that one. You know me, man. All right, Devontae Parker. I think we talked about this matchup. No Tua. We got Fitzmagic coming back, going up against the Jets. I think going up against the Jets, it bodes well for Devontae Parker and the wide receiving core for the Fins, for the big fish there. 24th at allowing wide receivers to score on them are the New York Jets. And then also through the air, 296 yards that they yield. That's 30th in the NFL. You like that. The numbers points to Devontae Parker in a good Ryan Fitzpatrick matchup, a nice little stack there. I like it. Good correlation.
All right, moving on to another wide receiver, and that guy is Robert Woods of the Los Angeles Rams going against San Fran. And don't look now, but those Los Angeles Rams are 7-3 and playing some pretty good football right now. Like, Jared Goff looked really good against Tampa Bay last week, and Robert Woods, he's one of the most underrated receivers in the league, so I like him a lot. This 49ers D is still not the same defense that we saw with that Super Bowl team or Super Bowl playing team last year, and, you know, I think Robert Woods is going to go crazy today.
Dude had 15 targets last week, man. 33 points. Fantasy points. I like the pick too, man. Makes me want to issue out a Robert Woods lineup just for him himself, that's for sure. Another wide receiver that I got out there that's on my list. How about Curtis Samuel, by the way? Curtis Samuel, the receiving core for the Carolina Panthers, it's usually hit or miss. It's tricky. You know, DJ Moore has been getting a lot of it. Robbie Anderson has been getting, you know, some conservative 10-point, 15-point play. But usually the guys that just go out of the ceiling is DJ Moore or Curtis Samuel. And this week, I believe it's going to be Curtis Samuel. He's got a good matchup going up against the Minnesota Vikings. 26 at allowing wide receivers to score on them. And then through the air, they yield 271 yards. That's 24th in the NFL. And then 21 points last week. A little bit of a drop off, 4.2 2 weeks before that in week 10. But then in week 9, 29.8, almost 30 points, 21.4 against Atlanta, and then 17.3 going back to New Orleans in week 7. Man, I like this so far. It's a good trend for Curtis Samuel here. We've had a few questions on the Specs Text line. You should start Curtis Samuel. I like Curtis Samuel a lot, especially in a PPR league.
I like it. I like it. Moving on to our last wide receiver, and who do you love? And that will be Chris Godwin. And I know what you're saying. Chris Godwin's day. Mike Evans here, with Antonio Brown here. Brady looked a little old last week against the Rams. Slow your roll. Tom Brady doesn't have two bad games in a row. They're going up against the Kansas City Chiefs, who love to sling that rock. This should be a high-scoring game, which means everybody should eat. And even though Godwin has those other two receivers and, Rob Gronkowski, he still had 10 targets last week against those Los Angeles Rams. And he just came off an injury. People forget that. He just came off an injury. He has to get his legs back under him. I think he has. I think Chris Godwin is a good start today, along with the two other wide receivers for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
You got to flourish of wide receivers usually, but it's kind of like what we used to see with the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? Juju Smith-Schuster would really benefit off of how well Antonio Brown was doing. You're starting to see, not to mention, you got Antonio Brown back into this receiving core for the Buccaneers, man. I'm telling you, I think things are about to start popping off for Tampa Bay, especially coming from these wide receivers there. Look for Chris Godwin to ascend to godlike performances again. How about Michael Pittman Jr., the rookie for the Colts, man? You've seen some big things coming out of him the past couple of weeks with Phil Rivers. 22 points 2 weeks ago, 15.6 last week. He was targeted 3 times, caught all 3. You'd like for his targets to be up a little bit more, and usually they were. The past 3 weeks, 7 targets, 8 targets, and then the targets were down just a little bit with 3, but he caught all 3. You know that's got to bode well for Phil Rivers, thinking that he's got some good rapport with his young wide receiver, Michael Pittman Jr. there. Going up against, the Tennessee Titans. We talked about this matchup. Tennessee is 23rd, allowing wide receivers to score on them, and then they yield 277 yards through the air. That's 27th in the NFL. Michael Pittman, he's a cheap $5,000. It allows you to get some better players into your form or into your roster for a DP or a GPP format. I'm telling you, man, I love this matchup right now with Michael Pittman Jr.
Moving on to the tight ends, and you got to go with Darren Waller for the Vegas Raiders. And I think Darren Waller, he's put himself in the top 5 category of tight ends in the NFL. Do you think so, Wags?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he's one of those guys.
He's the go-to for Derek Carr, man.
Yeah, yeah, you could tell he's a basketball guy.
Waller and Andrews, bro. Waller and Andrews are starting to emerge as some of the best. I mean, we know the studs. You know, Kelsey, he's one of them. Ertz is starting to slow, you know, fastly decline. But I'm telling you right now, now Waller, now Andrews, these are the two names that are starting to ascend at the top of the list for tight ends. I love this play.
Yeah, and the tight end's not dying. Like, people thought it was dying with all of these fast, quick guys and, you know, the spread coming into the league. Like, no, these tight ends aren't dying. They're just becoming way more versatile, and I think you see that with Darren Waller, who, like you said, is, you know, Derek Carr's go-to guy, but he looks like a receiver out there. He has a lot of Kelsey and Kittle in him, and he's one of those guys that changes your offense. So I like Darren Waller a lot, especially against those not the best Atlanta Falcons defense.
I'm going to have to go tell you to go with the big fish today. Actually, yeah, the big fish, Mike Gesicki. This dude with Ryan Fitzpatrick back at the helm there. When he was back, when Fitzpatrick was back at the helm, they were producing like 30-point games, 14-point games. And now, you know, going up against this Jets defense, that they're 25th at allowing, you know, tight ends to score on them. And then through the air, 296 yards. That's 30th in the NFL. Look, Fitzmagic, he's going to be throwing to Parker, but he's also going to be hitting the, you know, the middle of the hash marks too. This dude Gesicki, he's like 6'7", man. They call him the big fish down there in Miami for a reason. Look for this dude to be a huge red zone target today for Fitzpatrick.
All right, all right. You know, I feel like I say this guy's name every week, and that's just because he's been consistent, and really just with how Justin Herbert's been slinging that rock, and that's Hunter Henry.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this kind of goes back to Justin Herbert and, you know, what that offense allows him to do and how much confidence that they have in him. And I talked about it earlier and how it's going to be cold as hell up in Buffalo, and when it's cold like that, you got to rely on your security blanket, and Hunter Henry's that guy for Justin Herbert. And, you know, he's had a pair of double-digit games since week 8, and the Bills have allowed the third most points to tight ends this season. So, hey, I don't think I have to say more. Hunter Henry's a good start today if you got him at tight end or if you go to DraftKings.
I like Evan Engram as well. I love the Hunter Henry pick. They're, you know, what, Buffalo, excuse me, yeah, Buffalo is 30th at allowing tight ends to score. That bodes well for him. You got to eat that up. You know, Justin Herbert will eat that up with Hunter Henry there. How about Evan Engram there? So it slows my roll. It gives me a little bit of pause because Danny Dimes hasn't exactly been lights out, but they're going up against the Cincinnati Bengals that are usually really bad against tight ends. As a matter of fact, this year, they're the 31st in the league at allowing tight ends to score, which bodes well for Evan Engram. But they're very stout through the air, which I think is going to have to, you know, make Danny Dimes actually go to Evan Engram to get the tough yardage there inside the hash marks. Let's be real. Let's be completely 100. Evan Engram is not a tight end. He is a wide receiver playing in a tight end position. All right, we know this. I think that it's going to, you know, allow him to get a little bit more separation against this banged up Bengals squad. But yeah, I mean, through the air, they're 18th. You know, 258 yards through the air. I think that's going to bode well for the tight end matchup here for Danny Dimes.
I like it a lot. Our last tight end, and who do you love, is Gronk, Rob Gronkowski.
Right on.
And people are probably wondering, yo, Zay, Gronk hasn't been himself. Gronk is the old Gronk of old that we've seen. Well, slow your roll, everybody, because this man, Gronk, since week 6, has had 4 touchdowns, and that is tied for tight ends since week 6. And we saw with what Darren Waller did to Kansas City last week, they don't guard tight ends very well. Tyrann Mathieu, he's kind of getting old there. So if, again, I talked about the 3 wide receivers for Tampa Bay, who's going to get the focus today, I think Rob Gronkowski has benefited from that. I also said that Tom Brady doesn't have many bad games in a row, so look to Rob to go crazy today. I like him.
Yeah, I think Rob Gronkowski has a big game going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. It's also, are you a believer in the dude that's playing on the other side of the line, the other side of the sideline? Like, you're looking over there, you're Rob Gronkowski, you see Travis Kelce on the other side. You think it's time to have a big game? Yeah, that was kind of like my motivator. Like, if I knew that another linebacker was decent in Maryland or whatever, I felt like I had to have a better game than him, and usually I did.
Oh.
I'm just like, that's the stuff that kind of motivates me, man. When, like, when the spotlight is actually on you, I think Rob's that type of guy. I mean, he's a prime-time dude for a reason. I think going against and of course, this is just a contrarian-slash-gut play here. I think Rob can have a pretty decent matchup there. I still think that the guy for me is definitely Mike Gesicki. But if you're looking at it from a glance, look at Austin Hooper going up against this Jacksonville Jaguar defense. All right, they're 29th at allowing tight ends to score on them, and then also 29th in the NFL as well, yielding 286 points. My only issue of caution is that Baker Mayfield just hasn't been himself for the past couple of weeks. And he found Austin Hooper, you know, about a month ago, but ever since then, it's been kind of like abysmal, right? It's kind of been very down, not as optimal as you'd like to think there. But again, for a flyer, if you're going to take a chance at 3,800, if you're putting Austin Hooper in your lineup at 3,800, he's only got to catch three passes. He's only got to catch three passes to get his times two production. And then if he scores, man, that's times three, maybe even times four. It's worth a flyer. I'll take it.
All right. We move into defenses?
Let's go into, defense and then the flex, if we can.
All right, well, I feel like this is as easy as it gets. If you have the Saints, if you see the Saints, start the Saints going against Denver, who I don't even know what the quarterback's name, because he's not a quarterback, and who knows what they're going to throw out there. A lot of wildcat, I want to say our word of the day was BS from Sam Stash.
We didn't say it,
but that's going to be some BS that Denver is going to put on the field today.
What was the word of the day, Sam?
BS.
It was BS.
It was BS.
It was BS. Yeah. All right, so just as a defense, if you roll the Saints out there, it's going to cost you $3,800. It's probably for a reason, too, right? It's because they got just a debacle rolling out there in Denver. But another defense that I like to throw out there is the Bengals going up against Danny Dimes. They're 25th at allowing at keeping people off the board there and also being a scoring defense as well. Also, I think the Jets have a chance going up against Ryan Fitzpatrick to maybe. And look, I know Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to get his points there, but there's a chance that Ryan Fitzpatrick could throw a pick six. Right now, look, you know what happens, how you get good defensive production, right? Their defense, you start out with 10 points. We talk about it every week, but you usually yield those points and get rid of those points because it's a buffer zone, right? The only way that you really score good points on defense is if the defense gets a pick six or if they get sacked, which equals 2 points, interceptions equal 2 points. But if you can turn a pick into a pick six, that's an 8 point play right there. And I think that maybe, just maybe, the Jets have a potential to do that going up against Fitzpatrick, who he doesn't care if you're open or not. If you've got three people around you, he believes that he's got the arm strength to get it in there, man. Look for Ryan Fitzpatrick to maybe make a mistake like that and throw a pick six.
All right. One of my flex options today is Cole Beasley. And I think it's just because John Brown, he's not going to play today, and it's going to be cold as hell. So you want to rely on those slot guys who could carry it, could run for extra yardage, not really those home run hitter guys. And I think Josh Allen's going to benefit from that. So if you got Cole Beasley today for a flex option, wouldn't it be a bad start?
I like it. I like Cole Beasley as a flex shot. Now this is a little bit of an anomaly. My flex option is actually Dalvin Cook. And it's only because I had enough room left over. Now look, I'm going to go down my lineup. I usually don't do this. I'm going to take you behind the curtain and unveil the entire lineup here. But this is how I got Dalvin Cook as my flex spot, all right? Derek Carr as my quarterback, 5,700. Nyheim Hines, my running back, 4,600. Alvin Kamara, my other running back, 8,200. Devontae Parker, 5,900. Michael Pittman Jr., 5,000. Curtis Samuel, 5,100. Austin Hooper, 3,800. Dalvin Cook, 9,500. The most expensive guy on the roster. Not just the roster, but on the entire slate. And then the Jaguars defense. Yes, I'm taking the Jaguars defense because they are only $2,000, and I believe that Baker Mayfield will make a mistake today and maybe throw a pick six. The defense is all on the flyer. That's why I'm going with $2,000. Man, that's a nice little budget. It allows me to get a lot of play in there. Now, look, is it going to hit? Probably not, but it's worth a flyer. That's what I'm saying.
Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb are going to run all over those Jaguars.
But look, we know that they get rid of points. But if Baker throws a pick six, that's 8 points right there.
That's very possible.
That's very possible. So that's the only thing that I'm going out. That's my one flex, and that's my defense right there. And good hoodie love, man. We'll go to break right there. We'll come back. We'll tie a bow on this bad boy, man. Zay, nothing but the best as usual, man. I think you're actually starting to become the better fantasy expert than I am.
Nah, you're being modest. You're being modest.
We'll see, man. Put the green in your pocket. Sammy, let's take him to break, and on the other side, we'll tie a bow on this bad boy. It's the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. You stream live at hornfm.com, and don't forget to load up the Specs text line, man. All your fantasy football questions are coming in there. We're trying to answer them as they come in. It's the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Stream live at hornfm.com.
B&E.
Can't even scratch my nuts anymore.
Now, back to the Wagner Wire.
Welcome back to the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. You stream live at hornfm.com. Let's go to the Specs text line and read some of these fantasy football questions coming off. All right. That's actually, most of you guys are just talking about women on here. Okay. Oh, here we go. Need two, Parker, Kirk, or Davis. Which Davis are you talking about? Hopefully you're speaking about Mike Davis. If it's Mike Davis, I'm going to tell you to go ahead and go with that. I think Devontae Parker is going to have a really nice game. I think it's a good problem because I think, you know, Kirk is going to have a nice game as well with the Cardinals. Look for him to get back on the scoring production chart there. And then, but yeah, I think Devontae Parker going up against these Jets, look for a big game from Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think this is one that he's going to want to make everyone notice, all right? All these national pundits that, you know, said that, oh, it's to his team now, you know, Fitzpatrick's done. I don't know if Fitzpatrick will ever get a chance to ride off into the sunset at Miami. Well, looks like he's got a shot, and looks like he has desired expectations as well to go out on top. I like the matchup there for Fitzpatrick. The big fish, yeah, let's go with Hurst or Gesicki here. It's a big tight end decision. I like Matt Gesicki. Look, Hayden Hurst might be one of the most disappointing picks for me in terms of fantasy football. I was so high on this dude in terms of tight ends going into this year for 2020. I was big on Austin Hooper as well. But him actually coming from Baltimore and taking, filling in the shoes of Austin Hooper, who was the number one fantasy football tight end in the league last year, you'd think that those numbers would be able to be replicated there with Matt Ryan, Matty Ice at the helm. But no, especially, I mean, Calvin Ridley's been banged up, double sticks, you know, Julio Jones has been banged up as well. You would think that you would have to rely on your tight end, especially with Todd Gurley having chronic, you know, chronic knee injuries or whatnot, chronic pain in his knees and stuff. You would think maybe, all right, we can't, you know, put too much on our bell cow running back. We'd have to, you know, spread the payload around a little bit. Hayden Hurst has been almost non-existent there in this Falcons offense. Austin Hooper, pretty much the same way. So the question coming on the Specs text line, Hurst or Gesicki? I'm going to tell you to go with Mike Gesicki. Go with the big fish. Definitely. Great question there, man. What is your biggest fantasy football failure of the year, Zay?
Mine was getting finessed by whoever had Taysom Hill last week and starting the double quarterback.
That was a finesse.
It
was going to happen.
Yeah, that hurt more than anything that I've had this year. Other than that, I've had a pretty good fantasy year. And Zeke Elliott.
That's my other one, too.
Zeke. I have Zeke, and I know that everybody who has
Zeke. I took Zeke
fourth
overall, man.
Yeah, I know everybody who has Zeke is feeling my pain also.
I took Todd Gurley in the fifth round. I thought that would be a nice steal. He's kind of been quite pedestrian just a little bit, but probably my biggest surprise has been Claypool, from the rookie from Notre Dame. He's been pretty solid in terms of season-long leagues. Now, in terms of DFS, I've been reluctant to roll him out because I don't know who's going to get the production between he or Juju Smith-Schuster. And to be honest with you, you know, 20 points the past almost 60 points the past 3 weeks there. I mean, Claypool's pretty nasty, but again, because of COVID-19, you know, restrictions and quarantine stuff and protocols, so you might have to check on this Ravens Pittsburgh Steelers game. That I'm pretty sure it's going to be played, but they don't know if it's actually. There's still a lot of questions, a lot of stuff are up in the air, so make sure you're checking with ESPN and 104.9 The Horn here for all your latest updates on all that as well. We'll keep you informed on that. Mims or Curtis Samuel? Curtis Samuel. I'm going to tell you Curtis Samuel. I think Darnold's coming back. Darnold is cleared to play today, but I'm telling you right now, I think Curtis Samuel's going to have an impressive day going up against against his matchup as well. What else we have here? Claypool, we've already read that one. A nice matchup between Christian Kirk or Curtis Samuel. Again, I'd like Curtis Samuel a lot today. I think he's going to have a really big day. Pittman, Fulgham, Gordon, or Snell. Is this PPR? 5-point PPR, half PPR? Okay, I'm going to tell you to take Michael Pittman Jr. I think he's got a good matchup. I don't like Fulgham anymore. Gordon, there's really not much going on there with the Denver Bronco offense. Again, we just talked about it. They have a wide receiver at their quarterback there. They're going to be relying heavily on the run game. I like Melvin Gordon there as well. And Snell, I think Snell getting the start over James Conner. You know, James Conner's got COVID-19. Again, we talked about this. This game's going to get rolled out, but again, just issue an air of caution as well. I like Gordon, Snell. You only got to pick one there, but I like Gordon, Snell, Pittman. I'm going to tell you to go with Pittman. No, I'm going to walk that back. I'm going to tell you to go with Gordon there. Just pick one. I'm going to tell you to go with Gordon, okay? And then first one is a PPR. We got some more questions coming in here. Corey Davis, Jerry Jeudy, or Zach Pascal? I like Pascal. For some reason, I like the Colts. I like Hines today. I like Pittman Jr. I like Pascal. Maybe T.Y. Hilton can maybe break the mold and get into 10 points again, finally.
I would not start any Denver Broncos receiver today. Broncos receiver today.
No, we were talking about the Colts there. Just I would love to have a little bit of exposure there with Zach Pascal and Michael Pittman Jr. If you can actually make that.
Now, if Jerry Jeudy gets a chance to play quarterback.
No. I'm telling you, it's a Melvin Gordon day for the Denver Broncos. Maybe some productivity out of their offensive aerial attack, but I'm not seeing it, dude. Come on, let's be real, bro. Yeah, remember when Joe Webb, you know, was rolled out there and started playing the quarterback for Philadelphia and then in Minnesota every now and then? Nah, it didn't happen, man. Wide receivers can't play. Well, I don't know. I guess Julian Edelman, Taysom Hill, they're wide receivers, are playing quarterback every now and then. But
Ryan Tannehill,
you're right. He was a quarterback. What, Texas A&M or excuse me, Texas
wide receiver,
Texas Texas Tech, wasn't he?
No, he was A&M.
A&M was saying
he was a wide receiver who converted to a quarterback.
You're starting to see that, you know, translate a little bit on the NFL field as well. He's a little bit flight of feet, if you will. Feet of flight, if not. What's your best running back matchup that you like today? You like Dalvin Cook, or would you rather have Derrick Henry if you had to pick one of them?
Man, that's tough. I like Derrick Henry because Dalvin Cook is injury prone.
Very true.
That's it. I feel like I can rely on Derrick Henry to be there week in, week out, while Dalvin Cook,
he's going to get his touches, but he could get hurt too.
Yeah, he could get hurt.
You know, the thoroughbred Derrick Henry, he's going to get what, 20 to 25 touches, and he's still going to continue to keep going and going and going, man. Like the Energizer Bunny, dude, just never stops. I like Dalvin Cook though, going up against the matchup against the Carolina Panthers today, 30th in the NFL at allowing running backs to throw on them. I think that's going to be the heavy payload there. But again, 9,500 on DraftKings. That's expensive, man. Pretty penny. And hey, great show again as usual, man. I couldn't do it without Zay and Sam and the listeners of Austin, Texas, as well as Tom McKay and Audiovisual Consultations. Remember, 255-867-8 ADConsultations.com. Go see Tom McKay right now. Don't go out there and go into some of these retail shops, man. Don't go looking for TVs. Tom can get everything that you need. 255-867-8 ADConsultations.com. Hey, man. A little bit problems with the archive player, so the podcast won't be up for a little bit. Hopefully you were able to catch the show live. Remember, any questions that you have fantasy football related, tweet me or Zay. Sam refuses to play the game, but you can find me at Not to Fake Wags. You can find Zay at @_Zay. Hope you guys had a happy Thanksgiving. Y'all know the drill, man. Until next week, be safe out there and enjoy the ride.